A service for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, August 16th, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, you give your children many blessings, even though we are undeserving. In every trial and temptation, grant us steadfast confidence in your loving kindness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A Gospel reading from Matthew 15. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It can be a tricky balance when it comes to interacting with people, especially those with whom we disagree. On the one hand, we want to be right, taking a stand on the side of truth. On the other hand, it's important to be kind, allowing love to dominate. It is a skilled navigator who can balance the tension between truth and love, realizing that when in doubt, love should have the last word. This is what I see being played out in today's Gospel from Matthew 15. Jesus withdrew from Gennesaret on the southeast side of the sea and traveled northwest to the district of Tyre and Sidon. This region also was away from where the Jews lived and was populated by Gentiles. Perhaps Jesus thought that he would at last get some peace and quiet away from the scribes and the Pharisees who kept hounding him, pestering him with questions, hoping to trip him in his words. But there, in the district, his reputation must have preceded him. He was not being left alone, but approached and petitioned. However, it was not by a religious scholar, but by a certain Canaanite woman. She had no business approaching him. After all, she was a non-Jew, and a woman at that. Why would she expect a Jewish man like Jesus to have anything to do with a Gentile woman like her? Why would she think that he would even listen to any request from her? After all, the Jews wanted to preserve their identity, avoid impurity, and prevent any assimilation with non-Jews. The best way to go about that was to disregard them. Jesus intended to adhere to that standard. Therefore, when this Canaanite woman came out to implore something from him, he intended to shut her down. She pleaded, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But what was that to him? He ignored her petition, for we are told that he did not answer her a word. Now one might think that she would get the hint, give up, and go away. But apparently, she did not. She kept pleading to the point where his disciples came and begged Jesus, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." Her pleas were annoying and irritating, and she needed to be put in her place. Therefore, he at last answers her, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." She was not of their house, therefore she was not one of the sheep. There was no help coming for her. Still, she persisted. kneeling before him, saying, "Lord, help me." Yet she was unworthy of his help. Therefore he answered her in this harsh way, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She had no claim to his help. He was right. Friends, as Christians, we seek to be right also. After all, there has to be rules. Rules are not to be broken. They are to be upheld. Being right all the time about everything is all that matters. Right? Well, maybe not so fast. What about love? What about kindness? Do they hold no weight in how we interact with others? Think about what we were, especially as Gentile sinners. In Ephesians 2:12, Paul says something that applies to us. "Remember that you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." The truth be told, you and I have no right to either the mercy nor the help of Almighty God. We are no different than this Canaanite woman, deserving to be ignored, rejected, and insulted. However, we also learn in Ephesians 2, "God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." The Lord is rich in mercy, and so grants us what we don't deserve. But how is that possible? As God, doesn't Jesus have to be right? After all, he is the truth. And yet, God is love. How can these both come together in him for us? Is there a way? Praise God, there is. The way is by Jesus going to the cross of Calvary. There, the only one who is righteous laid down his innocent life as a sacrifice for our sins. He died, shedding his blood, making it possible for God to take us back to himself. Verification is Jesus rising again on the third day. Since Jesus loved us so much to have mercy on us and save us from our sins, we do have hope. All that is required of us to be like the is to be like the Canaanite woman in our text. We go to Jesus and cry out to him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." Recall that after Jesus attempted to put her off, in fact calling her a dog, she did not give up hope. She boldly replied, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." She knew that even a crumb of Jesus' mercy was all sufficient. And it is. We are told, "Then Jesus answered her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed instantly." So too, when we trust in the mercy of Jesus, our healing from sin, death, and hell is instantaneous. Just listen to this verse from 1 Peter 2. "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Or listen to this from today's epistle. "You were at one time disobedient to God, but have now received mercy." In truth, we do not deserve it, but by grace through faith, we receive it. Now then, what about you and me and our own interactions with other people? Whenever you get two people together, you are most likely to have two opinions. Is the goal to be right or to be kind? Well, it is to be both. Truth is truth, and love is love, so steady must that hand be that guides these two twin steeds, both of whose noble instincts would lead them in opposite directions. However, if unsure of which way to go, error on the side of grace. Philosopher Wayne Dyer advises that when given the choice between being right and being kind, choose kind. This is because being kind preserves the bond and respects the human being behind the words. Kindness also de-escalates tensions, making a long-term relationship possible. It's sort of like that proverb, you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. Gentle persuasion with kindness is more effective at winning others over than is harshness. In fact, let's take another quick look at our text today, but now from the perspective of the Canaanite woman. She presented the facts. Her daughter was being severely oppressed by a demon. Jesus is Lord, the Son of David. He can have mercy on them both. Jesus responded to her with facts. He was sent foremost to the Israelites, and Gentiles were considered dogs. Here he was intentionally and uncharacteristically being insulting, that he might test her. You see, after calling her a dog, she might have returned an insult in kind. And by that I don't mean a kind insult, for that's an oxymoron. She might have had some insults ready to fire back at him. But instead, she stayed calm, cool, and collected. She maintained her hope and faith in Jesus, not arguing with him, but conceding that she very well may be a dog. But what of that? People love their dogs, feeding them under the table. She would not only be happy, but well satisfied with any crumb. And so she was. She had passed the test. In fact, he went on to compliment her, using her as an example for all time, stating to the entire world to this day, O woman, great is your faith. There's a song that comes to mind by Jewel entitled Hands, in which she makes this point. In the end, only kindness matters. Jesus, in the end, was kind to the Canaanite woman, healing her daughter. Jesus is kind to us, saving us from our sins. As one translation of Ephesians 2:8 puts it, God saved you through faith as an act of kindness. You had nothing to do with it. Being saved is a gift from God. Yes, in the end, only the kindness of Jesus towards us sinners matters. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.